This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Give my confession of faith. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better. After having heard the word of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right. Now, in 3 John 2, a very, very, very familiar scripture says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Would you underline, be in health? Now, here's what our subject is for today. How to resist sickness and disease by faith. How to resist sickness and disease by faith. Now, you heard the roll-in that introduces our lesson. I was actually talking about pleasing God. And that was originally, I was going to start a series today about pleasing God, the secrets to pleasing God. But then as I was preparing, now the Spirit of God spoke to me and instructed me to do what I'm going to do today. Everybody say, he's on assignment today. Everybody say, yeah, he instructed me to do what I'm doing today. And really, that whole no secret of pleasing God is always obeying. That's just it. Always obeying. So I want to obey God today as I prepare you for what is coming, what's coming and what's happening in our society. And this lesson is to help you deal with the present fear assault that the swine flu epidemic is causing. Everywhere you look on television and you're seeing cities where people are, everybody's walking around with a mask on, and they're talking about the swine flu here and there. And then the poor people who sell pork and pigs, they got all upset because you're naming it swine flu. Say, now you can't call it that, but you better call it something else. But anyway, the fear thing that is killing people and that sort of thing. And if you don't watch it, you will get into fear. All right. Now, but this simple exhortation this morning is to place you in a state of mind, a faith state of mind, so that you can receive the ministry of healing as well as the divine health that's a part of your covenant. Now, this is not to put anybody on the spot at all, please understand. But if you're dealing with a health issue, would you just raise your hand? If you're dealing with a health issue, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wave at me. Wave at me. Wave at me. This is for you. This is for you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that's it doesn't mean that you don't have faith, you don't love God because your body is under attack. Thank God for the covenant right that we have for health, healing, and wholeness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of us know somebody who's sick, who's dealing with sickness and disease? Wait a minute. All right. So I think that this lesson is a very relevant lesson because either we know somebody or we're dealing with it ourselves. And we must understand God's plan for us to resist sickness and disease and how to do that by faith. Romans 10:17, make a note of it, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm going to have faith for anything, I must have an understanding of God's word on it, and I must hear God's word on it. Now, there are covenant privileges that we have that can protect us from certain things, but we have to intentionally release our faith for them. Otherwise, that covenant privilege that you have for protection will be forfeited. So in light of all that is sweeping the land and about the fear of this disease and that disease and the other disease, if you're built up in faith on God's protection for your life, you will have a good strategy of how to handle not only this, but other things that will happen. The Bible says that in the last days that we'll have pestilence and we'll have plagues and that sort of thing. So the believer has to be prepared. Just like we want to be prepared for the end time harvest of souls and the end time prosperity that's coming on believers, we also need to be prepared how to handle what we'll be hearing here in the last days about pestilences and about the plagues that will and diseases that will hit society. Now, go with your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The most valuable thing in your life is your health. Yes, that was the most valuable thing. It's not money. You can have all the money, but if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy it. You understand? So we know how valuable it is, and we need a good strategy and need to be anchored in knowing how to resist sickness and disease by faith. All right, First Peter, are you there? All right, look at the person next time. I'm glad I came to church today. Yeah. All right. Now, many of us grew up thinking that we were supposed to be sick, that sickness is for something we're supposed to have, that you're just part of what you're supposed to have, not knowing and understanding that when Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed us from sickness and disease. Many of us grew up in churches where we heard people tell us it was the Lord doing on it. The Lord was doing it to us, that he wouldn't put any more on us than we were able to stand. Anybody ever heard that in church? Got an idea out of church that you're supposed to have been sick? Like look what God did to Job. Poor old Job. God put those boils on Job. Well, God didn't do any of that. That's not correct interpretation and understanding of the Word of God. We'll see that today. But there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bear our sins. Are you there? Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Talking about Jesus dying on Calvary. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now watch this. By whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes? What do you mean? Because when they beat Jesus 39 lashes that he got, and it said that there are 39 categories of sickness and disease, so he took a stripe, or he took a beating for each one of the categories of sickness and disease, and it says by that he claimed, or by that he bought, purchased our healing. See, sickness and disease did not come into the world until Adam sinned. And Jesus came to restore us back to the place where we were before Adam sinned. And we must understand when the Bible says that he came to undo the works of the devil, he came to untie us. We need to know that we are untied, that we do not have to be lorded over by sickness and disease. The devil has no legal right to do that. Amen, amen. Now, go in your Bibles and let's look at another passage real quickly. Psalms 103. Now, we're on our first point. The first point is we must have a revelation on the promise. I need a clear revelation on the promise. You see, I need to get this revelation on the promise before I'm attacked. I don't want to get it at the end of the game. I want to get it at the beginning of the game. I want to know what I need to do if my body is attacked. All right? Sickness and disease is caused by several things. Number one, human error. That is, I can do something intentionally or unintentionally that will cause my body to break down and not function like it should. I say intentionally, when you're smoking those cigarettes, that's intentional. Especially when you read on the package, it says, this can cause some problems down the road. For you to continually do it, that's intentional human error. However, maybe you can do some things not knowing, and that's human error. Secondly, I like to call satanic attacks. Many times when Jesus would minister to people, he would call evil spirits. Not all sickness and disease is caused by satanic attacks, but some are. Number three, it is caused by traumatic events. Some traumatic event can happen, an accident, a fall, a wreck. Something can happen that can injure your body, causing it to suffer sickness and disease. Number four would be infirmity of the flesh. Infirmity, the word infirmity simply means weakness. Weakness of the flesh. We look and we see babies born deformed and babies born sick. That's not the will of God. God didn't do it. But it is the result of sin in the earth. It is a result of sin in the earth. Weakness of the flesh could also be, we could also see that when, these bodies were not built for eternity and they do wear out. They do wear out. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me today. All right, well, I know people don't get all excited about this, but you'll get excited by and by. Amen. All right, now, what did I tell you to go? Psalms 103? All right, Psalms 103, let's look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his, come on class, what? Benefits. Now, what are some of the benefits? All right. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth, what? all thy diseases. Now, so if there's any doubt in your mind, that your disease is beyond his power, let this set the record straight that he heals all diseases. Everybody say all. And that's good news, especially when the doctor starts scratching his head and say, we ain't seen this before. That's all right. What really matters hadn't changed. He heals all diseases. Psalms 107, while we're there in the Psalms, let's get another passage of scripture to back up this lesson on divine healing, on how to resist sickness and disease through our faith. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his what? Word, and he healed them. So I understand that healing is the will of God. Everybody say healing is the will of God. So I must have a clear revelation. Revelation is an understanding of the word of God at the level of my comprehension. So I have an understanding that healing is a part of the redemptive package. Healing is a benefit for the believer. And God heals us of all sickness and all diseases. Now let's look at Jesus, who came to express the will of God. Look in Matthew chapter 8. He came to express the will of God. Because now why am I driving this point home? Because there are many people who say, well, he can heal some things, but not all things. Who told you that? That is not what the Bible teaches. Amen. All right, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. And when the evening was come, he brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Watch this. And he cast out the spirit with his word and healed every other one. All that were sick. Everybody say all. Now, this is so vitally important. Now, those of you watching us by internet, that sort of thing, those who get this later, this is so vitally important that you understand your sickness, your disease, whatever's going on in your life is not beyond the power of God to touch and to heal. All right? Now, but I want to expand your thinking today so that you can expand your faith, not just for healing, but for health. All right, go to Isaiah 53. Now, health is this state of soundness of body and mind, freedom from sickness or disease or any ailment. It's a condition of optimum well-being, freedom from pain and discomfort. Instead of just believing, you know, against sickness and disease, why not let's lift our faith and let's believe for health? Amen, amen. Just like, instead of just believing for your light bill, let's just believe, be rich so you can pay all your bills. Y'all like that part. I'm going to get that for y'all. All right. Isaiah, watch this. Now, I'm going to expand you now. So we're not just thinking just getting well, but let's stay well. Amen. Amen. Let's just walk in health. All right. Now, all right. Verse 4 says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Watch this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now listen. In 1 Peter, I found out ye were. Here it says, we are. So if I were and now I'm are, I am. I'm clear. This is not just playing words. See, I see myself, I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. Because sickness and disease has no legitimate right over me because Jesus paid the price for it. So I have to see myself as the Word sees me, that I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. So I choose to take that point of view. That I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. Well, you got pain. Yeah, but I believe the word. I call things to be not as though they were. Amen. Amen. Now, see, what do you got to lose? See, you don't have anything to lose. Head already hurt. You might as well say I'm healed. Okay. Now, I ain't going to fuss. I'm not going to fuss at you. All right? Now, go with your Bibles to Psalms 91. Health is the state of soundness of body and mind, freedom from disease or ailments, optimum well-being, freedom from pain and discomfort. And health is definitely promised to the believer. Is it promised? Well, remember now, we read to you in our opening passage. He said, beloved, I wish above all things in 3 John 2 that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's already in the Bible. He has promised health to us. Not only is health promised to us, but the Bible says he will protect us from things that will rob us of our health. All right, you in Psalms 91? Psalms 91, because we want to believe for health. And in the midst of everything else going on, we're not in denial. We're just going to claim our covenant right. All right, look there. I'll start in verse 6. It says, well, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, watch this now, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, swine flu, come nigh thy dwelling. Now see, that's what I believe. I believe that. That's me. I believe that. No plague. Oh yeah. Are people getting sick? Yeah, they will. But because I made him my habitation. He's my refuge. I'm trusting him. You follow me? I declare no plague comes nigh my dwelling. I don't light on my street. Amen. All right. But now, go to 3 John 2. Now, let's go back and go to 3 John 2 because it lets me know something here, that this health will be in proportion to the development of my soul. So it's going to be proportionate now to the development of my soul. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy, come on class, what? Soul prosper. Now, what is my soul? My soul is my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. So it says you will be in health relative to the development of your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotion, and your intellect. So to the degree that I develop myself, I'm going to walk in this level of health that the covenant says I can have. Now, go in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're ready to go to our second point. Our second point is, the first point was, the revelation of the promise. The second point is, the refreshing perspective. The refreshing perspective. Now, what I mean by refreshing perspective, that is, how a believer chooses to look at life. See, I can look at life like every believer, every unbeliever does, and they only see the natural things. But because I'm a spirit being and because I understand the covenant, I look at the world and I understand there's more to life than what I physically see. Amen. So there are not only natural laws that are at work, but there are spiritual laws as well. So in Colossians chapter 1, are you there? All right. What did I tell you? I didn't give it to you then. All right. Look at verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and what? Invisible. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, I want you to think with me now. I want you to think with me now. All right. There's more to life than what you physically see. Okay. In this room right now, there are radio waves and television waves. Can't see them, but you know they're here. In this room right now, you know, there are phone signals. And by the way, don't be texting while I'm teaching. Be texting. You see anybody in your row texting, touch and say, Pastor, don't do that. Be texting while I'm teaching. I'm going to see if I can get some technology that when you come in here, your text don't work. Now I ain't going to do it. Just joking. But see, you have to, you got to understand, there's an invisible road. There are invisible roads all through this building. You can't see them. You got it? But they're there. Just because I can't see something don't mean it's not real. That's my point that I'm making. Because when it comes to spiritual things, and when it comes to a lot of things that God directs us to do, You can't see them. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. All right. Everybody say he's going somewhere. All right. Go to Galatians chapter 3 now. Galatians chapter 3 now. So we must expand our thinking on health so that we can be in faith for not just healing, but for total divine health sustained by the power of God. Sustained by the invisible power of God. Everybody say invisible. Power of God. And that's the point, you see, because when we talk about anointing and we talk about, you know, the force of faith and all that, that's an invisible thing. Can't see it. But it doesn't mean it's not real. Amen. Now, the promises of God are received by faith. So the promise of healing must be received by faith. Are you there? Galatians chapter 3. Everybody know what I'm going to? What pastor I'm going to? 13, if you've been here in length of time, you ought to have that colored in your Bible. Bible check time. Look at the person next to you. Check their Bible. See if they got verse 13, 14, color the check. They should have been to this page once before, unless it's a brand new Bible. If they don't have any marks on this page, don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. All right, there it is. It says, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, curse everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive what? Promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. So I've got to understand here, yes, the promise of healing is in the Word of God, but the will of God does not automatically come to pass. And in order for the will of God to come to pass, I have to release my faith for it. Many believers don't know that. I don't say that repetitiously, you know, to insult you, but many people don't know that. You sit here at the light all the time. You hear me say it all the time. But think about the first time you heard it. Well, there are a lot of people who have just heard that for the first time. And a light bulb has just gone off in them because they have been trying to process. How come this person can get it and that person don't? Well, the promises of God are received by faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Amen. So though the will of God is revealed in the Word, it is not automatic. Now, the promise of healing must be received by faith, and the plagues against your health must be resisted. Okay. James 4, 7. Go there quickly. James 4, 7. A plague is an epidemic, widespread disease that has the potential to cause extreme debilitation or mortality, which is transmitted by infected others. Everybody go, All right. Now, we want to explore this principle of resisting plagues. Is it scripture? Yes, it is. All right. First of all, the Bible lets us know that we have our responsibility to resist the encroachments of the devil. Everybody say, resist the encroachments of the devil. All right. Now, verse 7 says, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I just wanted to pull that scripture out to talk about how the Bible lets us know that we're not just to stand idly by and just let plagues and all that sort of thing, you know, run roughshod over us. We're supposed to do something. Anything that's outside of the will of God, I have the right to resist it. Another passage says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, it says, whatever is declared right in heaven, you can declare it right on the earth. Whatever is declared unlawful in heaven, you can declare it unlawful in the earth. Is there swine flu in heaven? No. Well, then it's unlawful for swine flu to be on you in the earth. He simply asked us to pray, thy will be done in as it is in heaven. So we have a right to resist it. Amen. We have a right to tenaciously, intentionally resist this thing. And we're going to show you how to do it. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now, in Exodus chapter 12, I think I can tell the story a little better than I and maximize my time. But Exodus chapter 12, verses 23 through 30, it talks about the plague that hit Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage and Pharaoh's heart was hard and would not let them go. There was a plague that hit the land that would kill the firstborn in every house. And God gave the children of Israel a way to resist and to be protected from that plague. They were to take the blood of a lamb, put it upon their doorposts, and when the destroyer All right? Are you there? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Because I'm going to make a scriptural point here that cannot be disputed by those who are theological critics. Amen. All right? Verse 23 says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he see the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door or stand in front of the door," one translation says, "and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." Everybody say, the destroyer. You see, because God didn't do it, he permitted the destroyer to go through the land, but the destroyer was indiscriminate. Any house he came to, the firstborn in there would die. Well, to protect, for the children of Israel to protect themselves, they put the blood over the door as they were instructed. And then God's telling Moses, now, when I see the blood, I'm going to stand in front of that door, and the destroyer will pass over. Everybody say, pass over. All right, now, with that in mind, go with me your Bibles now to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. I need to know who the perpetrator is that is not God. And the destroyer can be resisted. Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout up here in a minute. It's not really a shouting lesson, but you know, shouting is permissible. Glory to God. Amen, amen. All right, now watch this. Are you there in chapter 17? All right. Look with me now in verse 4. "Concerning the works of men," watch this, "by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the..." Oh, my mind. So then, with the words of my mouth, I can resist the destroyer. So I'm not going to buy into the fact of talking like everybody else talking. Oh, the flu is so bad. I always get the flu. That's opening the door for the destroyer. With my mouth, I'm going to close the door. Amen, amen. Now, so let's make sure. Here's my third point. I don't have a 4 points today, and I'm just about finished. Let's respect the process. Everybody say, respect the process. And I'm rushing a little bit. I am rushing. Because I think this next point is really pretty good. I'm not going to the third point yet. I'm not going to go through to the third point. I'm going to stay on the fourth, on the second point, because I got another point on that. Okay? Now, here's the point. First point was, the promise of healing must be received. This is under number two. Promise of healing must be received. The plagues of health must be resisted. And the prohibition to health and healing must be removed. Now, what I mean by the prohibitions. Man, you could be doing things. Mark chapter 6. That's preventing the power of God to bring healing or to restore health in your body. Okay. I could be doing something, but I say, it could be my fault. All right. Number one is unbelief. And as I said many times, traditional believing and thinking and teaching will keep you from believing that you can be healed. The devil said, well, somebody had that just what you got, and they died. They loved God. But the promises are received by
faith.
Now, here's another thing. See, it takes time for my faith to work.
Amen.
And if I'm a relay runner, I don't care how fast I am. If I get the baton late, my faith don't have time to catch up to what's going on. And unless I get a miracle, I ain't going to make it. That's why you have to be taught this before you have the fight. Now, if you can get it in the fight, praise the Lord. You can get in the fight. And he is a miracle worker, and we believe him for miracles. Amen. Now. Like, number one was unbelief. Number two is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness undermines your faith. So if you believe it for health and wholeness, you've got to forgive folks. You can't walk around with grudges and all that sort of thing. They ain't worth you forfeiting your healing. Number three is unrepentance. You can't walk around in sin. God doesn't bless sin. Ooh, be quiet. Everybody get quiet on that. So you can't harbor unconfessed sin. Admit it and quit it. Everybody say admit it. And just quit it. All right, then number four, unhealthy practices. Okay. I had you go to Mark 6, then forget Mark 6, and let's go to Proverbs 23. Because I could be the cause or adding to my dilemma. I'm just about ready to finish. My eating habits. Hallelujah. Now, the doctor told you not to eat that stuff, but you keep eating it. And then you come up here, more hands to be laid on you because your head's swimming. Now, come on now. Now, y'all laughing, but that's the truth. The doctor already told you this does not agree with you, but it tastes good. So you want to eat it, and then you want to come get hands laid on me. Lay hands on me. There is no measure of grace that continues to cover intentional violation of principle. Hallelujah. He preaching good, even though y'all didn't want to say amen on that one. Y'all got quiet on that. I'm going to tell you the whole counsel, the whole truth on this matter. And so sometimes, you know, you have to develop the discipline to watch this. Verse 1. When thou sittest and eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before you. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Or if you can't control what you eat. Be not desirous of his daintiness, for they are deceitful meat. In other words, some stuff you eat, it's deceiving. It's tasting good, but it's hurting your body. Amen, amen. You know, and we're going to have some health fairs this year. Well, a few hand claps. Health fairs. Amen. Now I'm ready to take you on to the next point. Respecting the process in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Everybody say the process. Now, there's a process by which everything works. The Bible says, so is the kingdom, verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. So in other words, the kingdom of God operates a certain way. So I need to understand the process. Everybody say, understand the process. And verse 26, so he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The whole point he's talking about there is that there's a process to how things work. Now, the Bible gives us seven ways that people can receive healing. Seven ways. Now, I had one preacher say, well, that show you that God don't want everybody to be healed because he don't heal everybody the same way. I said, how stupid can you get? To me, that says just the opposite. He's got all these ways because whatever way you put your faith in, that's the way he wants you to get it. That's like saying we built all these roads to get to downtown because we don't want anybody to get there. Come on, let's say that. Build all these roads going downtown. Why? Because we don't want anybody to get there. We want to confuse them. Now, here are the seven ways. Number one, laying on of hands. Number two, exercise of your faith. Number three, anointing of oil. Number four, prayer cloths. Number five, agreement, prayer of agreement. Number six, prayer of faith. Number seven, gifts of healing. Go to Acts chapter 9 because I got to follow some instructions. Now, we believe in all seven of them. Any way you can make it happen, make it happen. Any combination of the ways, make it happen. If you, amen, amen, amen. Hurry, hurry. All right, bring me my box here because I got to do something. And verse 11 in Acts chapter, what did I tell you? Acts chapter what? 9? I meant 19. I got you close. Yeah. You just hold it. You just hold it. Just hold it. Stand down. Just hold it. Just stand there and hold it. Yeah. Oh, you can take it off. You can take it off. Yeah. I'm going to come in a minute and do what I got to do. Just stand there real intelligent. That's it. That's it. That's it. Watch this. The ministry of prayer cloths. God told me to give all y'all prayer cloths the day they want one. says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, I want you to understand that this is more than just a point of contact. It is a point of contact to help you release your faith, but this ministry is more than a point of contact. There is a tangible, as an invisible, but yet tangible power of God. We call it the anointing. You follow me? And that anointing is real. That's why when the lady touched the hem of his garments, it wasn't the hem that did it, because Jesus said, virtue went out of me. That means the power went through the garment into her. The garment became a conduit. Another situation occurred where a prophet died and they buried him. And there was a war going on, and these people were in the midst of trying to get to where they were going. And they got a raid came on them. And they, when their fellow guys had died, they threw him on the bones of the prophet Elisha. He dead. They threw him on the dead bones, but the anointing was in the bones. And the soldier jumped up, came back from the dead. Because the anointing is tangible. While I'm standing up here preaching now, see, there's an anointing on me. And if I could, I'd like to touch every one of you, but you know I got another service I got to get to. But the Lord told me I'm going to do this. I'm going to lay my hands on this. See, now, while I'm laying my hands on this, that power is going all through this. Now, I know some say, humbly, that's shame on you. Fine. Ain't no problem. I ain't mad with you. I'm not mad with you. But there are those who do believe that as I'm praying, I'm obeying God. God told me to do this. I had another message already ready. But I'm laying my hands on this because I believe that just like the blood went on the doorpost and the destroyer passed over, this is going to help protect your life. Now, here's the point. What you got to lose? I ain't saying you got to sow a seed for it to work. It'd be different. I was up here saying, you got to give me $100. Then you say, oh, come on, Pastor. Come on, you just want $100. Just ask, we give you $100. But this is what God told me to do to my congregation. Now just stretch your hands this way. What is he saying? I'm praying in the spirit. I'm praying in tongues. See, that's the Holy Ghost inside of me praying. What is he saying? I don't know. I'm just praying. The Holy Ghost is doing the praying. See, it's beyond my understanding. You can just stop and start. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and I'm going to let you go. Y'all all right? All right, now. I got to give you these four things you got to respect. Here's the process I got to respect. Number one, the process of proactive principles. Everybody say proactive principles. And that is, I got to do those things that provide health. You're going to go. You look intelligent enough. Yeah. Now, you know, ushers going to have them as you go out the doors. You got it? And take some for your family, your immediate family. Don't be getting a whole bag. No, just some for your immediate family. All right? All right, those who watch, if you'll email me, we'll send you one. Those who are there on the internet. You follow me? All right, now watch this. So I'm going to do those things that will proactively build me up for health. Amen. Y'all might need another lesson on this. Number two, I'm going to respect precautionary plans. What do you mean? Well, if they tell you to wear a mask, are you going to wear one? Of course, but my faith ain't in the mask. But the Bible says that which is natural is first. So I will do everything in the natural, but my confidence is not in the natural. Because what if the mask fall off? And if your faith was in the mask, whoops. Number three. It says, respecting the process to experience divine health. I respect the promise of protection. Everybody say the promise of protection. I'm just about ready to let y'all go. Y'all all right? All right. Okay. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. All right? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So now what I'm going to do is, I understand this word is medicine. It's health to my flesh. So I'm listening to the word. I'm keeping the word because I know this word is feeding my spirit, but it's also feeding my body. Then the final thing is, I must respect the power of profession. If I said my profession or my confession of faith. All right. So I want to confess the word of God through my prayers, through my proclamation, through my praise. In other words, we've seen several cases right here where the Bible says my words mean something. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So I'm going to keep God's word on my mouth, on my lips. So say with me now, Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. I boldly declare that I walk in divine health. In my body, in my mind, in my emotions, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that because of my covenant, because I honor and worship you, that no plague, no sickness, no disease, no swine flu, no epidemic comes near my house or into my house affecting me. On my family, I declare every harmful disease, virus, or germ that touches my body must die immediately. God, I thank you that you satisfy my lips with those foods that are good for my body and that will sustain me in health. I will live and not die. So that I may continue to declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord like you mean it. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.